Baseball PhD podcast segment to remember, 2010.
This interview comes from episode 16, Arizona Diamondbacks.
Ed interviews Rodney Johnson, official scorer of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Hey, great baseball PhD. Welcome to a good friend of the podcast, Rodney Johnson. Rodney, how are you today?
Hey, I'm great, Ed. Glad to be with you.
You know, I just turned on my air conditioner in Cleveland, so what does that mean? Has yours been on for 30 days?
Well, just about, yeah. We hit our first triple-digit day last Friday, so it's getting warm.
Well, let's talk about the Diamondbacks, or even before we talk about the Diamondbacks, I want to congratulate you. You, right now, are in first place of our prediction game that we started back in April, and we'll revisit our predictions come June 1st, but right now, you are the smartest guy on our podcast crew, so congratulations. Congratulations.
Well, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn once
in a
while.
I don't think you're a blind squirrel, because if you are, I must be a dead squirrel. But let's talk about the Diamondbacks, and more importantly, one of the capacities that you do in your baseball life, you are the official scorer, is it scorer or scorekeeper, of the Arizona Diamondbacks?
Official score, yeah.
So you're the guy sitting up there, and if the shortstop bobbles a ball, you're the guy that either hits the E button or calls it a hit.
No real button, but yeah, metaphorically, yes.
You kind of do that. Now, where do you physically sit in Chase Field? In the press box? Where does the official scorer sit?
Well, I got the best seat in the house. I'm just to the right of home plate, looking out of the field in the press box.
Okay. Are you in your own little separate area, or you are sitting around other members of the press and they could heckle you if you decided to call it a hit and end someone's no-hit bid?
Yeah, that's where I am. I'm right in the center of the media.
And what kind of training did it take for you to become the official scorer?
Basically, OJT, on-job training. I scored Arizona Rookie League games, and I'm the coordinator of scores, actually, for that league. I've done that for about 15 years. And I scored Arizona Fall League games Phoenix Firebirds in AAA before the Diamondbacks were here. So I kind of had a little leg up. They knew I could do it. And when the position opened, they just asked me.
How long have you been the scorer?
Well, I've been scoring since serendipitously 2001, which we all know Diamondbacks won the World Series that year. And there's actually two of us that share the scoring duties there at Chase Field. And Gary Roush is our other scorer there.
So you guys alternate games, or do you concurrently score and compare notes?
No, we pretty much alternate series. We try and keep them by the series, so we see the same team three or four games in a row.
Right.
And gives us a little bit of a groove, like a player gets into a groove.
What's your biggest challenge as a scorer?
The biggest challenge is staying consistent, I think, night after night, trying to, when you see the same play, call it the same way every time. I think that's the biggest challenge.
And do you ever analyze what other scorers are doing, where it's like, wow, if this happened in San Francisco, the Giants guy would have always called it a wild pitch, but to me, that's a pass ball.
I do watch a lot of games of other teams, and it helps me to see the way other scorers call it. There's no textbook of plays that says this is a hit, this is an error. It's it's the individual scorer's judgment, and the ordinary effort is the standards we're supposed to use, which is pretty subjective. So I do watch other scorers. I try not to be too critical one way or the other, because I know that they could do the same thing to me.
Right. But for the grace of God, it could be you.
That's right.
What was the last time when you were kind of on the hot seat, or have you had a career since 2001 where you're calling those balls and strikes or those errors so well that no one is giving you grief?
Well, I'll tell you the one play that really stands out, Ed, is it was in 2002, and the Orioles were in town, and Mike Bordick was their shortstop at the time, and ground ball, Quentin McCracken hit a ground ball to just past the mound, and Bordick charged, and he kicked off his foot, and McCracken, who was batting from the left side, had a lot of speed and went across first base and safe, and I called it a base hit. And it just so happened Bordick at the time had a 50-something game airless streak going, and it was odd that after the game, I got a call in the press box. Bordick called up to the press box and said he thought that should have been an error. He said he makes that play all the time, so which is the only time that's ever happened is a player has told me it should be an error.
Wow.
And, you know, I looked at it again, and Bordick is the seventh all-time leading fielding shortstop of all time, and I told him he set the bar pretty high, and
right,
you know, that looked like a hit to me. I couldn't change it. So he went on to go 114 consecutive airless games, a new major league record. So that's kind of my contribution to the record book.
Right, you could have done that. And, you know, I'm sure that as a scorer, you don't want to know all these crazy stats before the game starts. You just want to pretend you're airdropped in from Mars, and you're calling them like you see them.
Right. You have to try and take each play in isolation and not worry about how it affects the stats and call them as you see them.
Exactly. Now, last question. For our listeners, let's say I'm a 15-year-old kid and someday I want to be a scorer. How could you even start to march and get in the position to someday do what you do, being an official scorer for a major league team?
Well, the first thing you do is you get your scorebook and you go to a lot of games and you keep the score. And then the nuts and bolts of scoring, learning the rule book, that part is the easy part. The hard part is coming up with learning judgment. And the more games you see, the better judgment you'll have.
Right.
And once you think you're ready, you can call the local high school, call the local community college, call the local university, local minor league team. Say you want to be a scorer, and you'd be surprised that you might be able to get a shot at
Right, it almost seems like you have to make a cultural decision. I love baseball so much that I'm going to surround myself within the baseball environment. If I'm a scorer and I know what I'm doing, people will see me, appreciate me, and I will climb the ladder to someday be able to score at the show.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a challenge. You think about it, there's 60 major league scorers. There's fewer of us than there are United States senators. So,
wow.
You know, it's really an honor and a privilege to get to do it.
Right. Heck, there's even fewer of you than really good United States congressmen, but no, it's just a joke. So, well, Rodney, from the state of Arizona, I've been reading a lot about you guys. Hang in there. Keep scoring baseball. And you will hear from us on June 1st, and we are going to revisit your predictions to see if you're more smart than we were or if we're going to catch you. But thank you very much, Rodney Johnson.
My pleasure.
This has been a Baseball PhD production. Copyright 2010.